In this week's episode, the library is open. Gary and Damon find a quiet corner in the library to talk about the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, where the queens are inspired by books and reading. Which of the five contestants go home, and did they check out their stacks for the last time or get paper cuts the house down? Grab a book and a drink of preference to watch as COL Drag Race Season 8, Episode 8, starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's April 28th, 2016, and welcome to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, episode number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of season 8.
Woo!
And your host, as usual, I am Gary, and with me, of course, is...
Hey, y'all. It's Damon. Hi. Hi.
Hi. I think that's kind of gone out.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Well, I don't hear as many queens say it, so.
I don't as much anymore either, so that's okay.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
All right, well, let's jump into feedback first.
Yay, feedback.
Before we get into the meat of the deal on this new episode for Drag Race. So Mr. AJ Lewis reached out to us again. Hey, girl,
Hey.
And on Facebook left us two comments on the same day. And basically, the first one was in the afternoon and said, FYI, Bob and Thorgy worked at Lucky Cheng's in New York City, which drag queens host and wait tables. And then gave us a link, and we'll include that in the episode posting on our podcast website. But there's a couple of pictures. We were just doing a quick look at it. And we don't know if this happened since AJ sent it to us, but they're closed. So apparently the location they were working out of, something happened, and they are now in the midst of finding a new home base, and they are kind of doing pop-up, like, you know, type stuff at different places around the city, I guess. So,
or maybe at one specific spot. It seems like it's maybe at one spot. Who knows? It's, you know, either way, you know, it's, they're probably still working on things, and we'll see, you know.
We shall see. But we appreciated that info. So that ties back to when Bob tells the story about him and Thorgy working together. And yep. Then later in the day, I think AJ had listened to the episode or had listened to it again because Orr had been waiting to post. So he got a screen capture picture of Bob, the drag queen, in the black and white kind of Harlequin clown outfit, talking to the stagehand. Because I made a joke and was like, "I think Bob got a thing for the backstage."
Woo!
So AJ also commented with the picture and said, "Thanks for the response of why you guys talk around the show or trying not to release any spoilers."
Yay!
So, yeah, we try to not ruin it for folks, but you know you can't. You can't prevent that.
We only do it for so long. Yeah. If you haven't watched the show by the time we get to the point where we start mentioning all the, you know, all the stuff that's important, like the you know, who's in the bottom and who wins and who leaves. If you haven't watched the show by then I'm sorry, not sorry. Like,
right, and it's going to get real difficult because we're down to the last three episodes. This episode, yeah, we go from five queens to four. Next week in episode 9, we're going to go from four queens to three. And yeah, then the final three is usually the finale / reunion, you know, recap, so to speak, in the theater and all that shindig. So we'll have another show next week, most likely for episode 9, and then we'll have to take a break because, you know, there won't be a show for...
Oh well, it's been fun. I will miss you most of all, Gary.
Aww. I miss
you most of all, bitch. I see you every week.
Well, speaking of such things, let's get into this episode number 8, Book Ball, which is a whole new thing for the show. It was focusing on reading, but not necessarily. Reading is fundamental. It was more about authors and using books as part of the couture It was an interesting take on it.
It was about telling your story, is essentially what it was. Mm-hmm. And in a weird, obscure kind of way, you know, that whole, like, what was it? The, Mommy Dearest Realness? Or maybe I'm misquoting, possibly.
Well, there's,
I don't know.
There's Baby Drag.
Oh, Baby Drag.
And then
That's My Mama something. And then
right. The
autobiographical Eleganza.
Extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
Talk about a mouthful.
Blah, 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 blah.
And Rue doesn't do well with multi-syllable words, so that cracks me up to no end, that they gave her three big old chunky words to put together for the final look on the main stage.
Lovely.
But before we get to main stage, let's talk about first impressions.
Words are hard.
I said the shade of it all. To quote motherfucking Latrice Royale, this episode was real. Like, there was a ton of editing about verbal sniping back and forth.
Oh, good God.
One of my favorite things of the whole episode is when in confessional, Kim Chi's like, popcorn.
Yes, it was so. Go ahead.
No, I think we're kind of both on the same page. There wasn't much for me to say. You have to watch this episode to see them. I mean, they all kind of come for each other in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely two that are like, you know. Oh.
Yeah. Like, but I was my basically, I think it's the library is open. As you know, since it was the book ball, the library is open, because there was some reading, some shade, some tea, like falling from everywhere. Like, everybody was kind of into it, and it was like, you know, well, like what Kim Chi was with the popcorn, because that was just like, it was just like back and forth. Like, who? Wait. Oh. Like it sort of started with the mini challenge. Well, actually, it started before then.
Right. It did start before the mini challenge, but the mini challenge just kind of amped it. It was kind of like, oh, let's take it from a 2 to about a 5. And so it was the puppet challenge.
Yeah, everybody loves puppets. Let me.
So they all have to reach into a glory hole in the wall. They basically have to fist a big black opening, which apparently I think it was Chi Chi who held back none whatsoever and just put her paw into that. And RuPaul was like, oh my, which I thought was kind of funny. And they pull out a puppet and it represents one of the other four competitors. They redo it over in their drag, and then they do a puppet show where they talk to the puppet and they, you know, have a discussion. And basically that's when they were all spilling tea about each other's issues.
Yeah. And I was sitting there going, like, this is bitch fest. This is hashtag bitch fest. Like, they were going back, like, especially, okay, we'll go ahead and say it. Especially Derek and Naomi, they were both, like, going at each other, like, just digs back and forth. And these weren't just like, oh, you know, I'm reading you. These were, like, cutting deep, like, wounding, like, so many things that were said were just like, I'm going for the jugular. I might miss, but I'll still be dead. Like,
if I didn't know better, I would think it was Edward Scissorhands versus Freddy Krueger. Like, just knives, like just going at each other for the whole episode. But yeah, it started in the puppet show, and then
in the, like, the second day or the next day, it was after they did the choreography.
Mm-hmm.
They were all sort of, you know, back in the workroom, and it just, the floodgates open and all the tea just came flowing from everybody. And it was the very, like, one of the things that is, like, very much stayed impressed in my mind. I was like, ooh, okay. Who's got something to say now? Let's see. Okay, I think it's your turn. Let's.
if they weren't spinning like the little dial on the board game, they were spinning a wheel on the wall or something.
Yes.
Like, tick, 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 tick. Who's next? It was pretty interesting, and that's why I think Kimchi had one of the best confessional reactions when she was like, "Popcorn." She just like, and I was like, "Girl," I was like, "Ain't that the truth?"
Yes, I think, and as well, we'll keep going. We'll just keep going
because all right. So let's move on for thoughts on this episode. I only had one overriding thing, and it's due. It happens usually in every season. And I'm surprised I didn't think of this last year in season 7 when we started doing the tea time shows. But I call this the Rupra episode, as in Rue being Oprah Winfrey. We have these one-on-one in the workroom discussions, and instead of like on a stage where there's some privacy, granted you're in a room with your four competitors, but this time around she started digging. With each queen, she wanted to see a little more. She wanted them to open up. She cracked some of them a little bit. And we finally got to see some people show some more humanity that they may not have shown before. And that's not to say that they were being, closed off. But we all, kind of represent ourselves in a certain way. And we don't necessarily show the full spectrum of who we are as a person.
Yeah.
So I felt in this episode, Rue was like kind of pushing on people and saying, well, that's fine. Like, for example, Naomi, she says, well, who are you? And she's like, well, I'm Naomi Smalls. And Rue's like, that's nice. Go deeper. Like, tell me more about who you are. You're not just a name. Like, you're an individual. How would you describe yourself? And so I thought that was interesting. So to me, this was the RuPaul as Oprah episode where she was in not interrogating but interviewing, kind of investigating a little further than usual, because I think there's less people to talk to. You have more time to talk to the contestants.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in not the next episode, but I believe it will be probably the next episode. You'll get to do the lunch with RuPaul. So, I mean, you're getting to that point where you're actually going to have the one-on-one and possibly even open up some more. So,
yeah. And we got a lot of opening up for several people. I was really happy with what Bob basically said, in regards to her fear. And I was kind of like, yeah, that's a very, very genuine fear, because they showed the pictures. They showed, her... her mom like looking really nice, and they showed the picture later, after whatever illness she had. I can't remember I think it was cancer or something.
It's like a really severe, weird form of pneumonia, I think she said. It has a really cute name called Boop.
Oh, that's right.
And she said, but it is anything but.
Yeah.
And then they showed the pictures of her mom, and that
could be a very genuine fear where something very unexpected happens and you end up getting really sick. That is a genuine fear. And I can understand that being something that could potentially motivate you to live the most out of life. So Boop. Sorry, Boop means so many different things to me. No. Not even funny. I'm just like Boop. So sorry. Okay.
It's okay.
All right. So for me, I've kind of said I have been waiting for this. And that's a multi, wait. I've been waiting for this library, this genuine like bitch fest drama kind of cutting at each other. Because we know they're now probably, they've been around each other for weeks. They know each other's, strengths and weaknesses. They know how to get at each other probably. And whereas before we've kind of had this whole sisterhood kind of thing going on, I was waiting for this like moment when people were going to be going, like I said, going for the jugulars for the sake of just like, I wanted that drama. I know it sounds bad, but I really wanted like that, this to happen. Cause this is where we know where they are. We know, here's the top five, and they're not really all going to like each other because, you know, it's now this is where the competition is getting more real. Mm-hmm. And so you're now every little detail, every little thing is going to be criticized even more. There's not as many of you, so you're going to be looked at even more. So you're probably going to be stressed. And that's where all this sort of comes in. I've been waiting for this design challenges. I love these ones because they're always interesting. You know, the balls, you know, we've had the glitter ball and we've had the, you know, bitch ball and we've had these other things before. And I love that the concept behind three unique looks or three or four unique looks that bring something out of you. It shows a lot about your creativity and sometimes the story of your life. So I was kind of very much looking forward to waiting for this kind of episode. You know, the Shade and Library was amazing, especially because it didn't seem to want to end for a while, because it never really died down. Like they were working and they kept working, but they were back and forth yammering, bitching, cutting like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they were focused on the task and being productive, but they, as I think Bob made reference, like, and the library is open again. And the library is open again. Yeah. Like you thought you left or it closed and then, you know, nope, still in session, still something going on. So,
yep.
I thought that was
reading is fundamental. Indeed.
Very true. Are you ready to move on to the next segment?
Yes.
All right. So that is the intro to Untucked, which is the behind the stage show, so to speak. Once they've done main stage, then all the queens go back and they have a little chit chat amongst each other about how things went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My thoughts for Untucked this week was there were two main things that stood out to me. The first one is the theme of this week's show was embrace the material. Because Kim Chi said it about six times,
mm-hmm,
in reference to Bob getting critiqued that his dress was of cardboard, not of paper, from the books.
Yeah. And I wanted to stop everyone right then and there. Like, for the sake of this whole, like, it wasn't made of paper, it was made of books. They didn't say made of paper. They said made of books. You can have the, you know, corrugated cardboard. It's not usually corrugated cardboard. It's usually something a little bit stronger, you know, but that's what they use to, you know, bind the books, like the hardcover books. So usually made of something that they, so it just, it was it a bit of a stretch? Yeah, granted, yes, but it technically was made of something that, you know, was book related, so quit your bitching, Michelle Visage.
I think if Bob had gone back over it again, like, I think the cardboard provided a really good structure for that outfit. I think if she had gone back and then put paper over everything, because I think that's what Kim Chi was trying to tell her, is yes, but when we look at your dress, we don't see a book. Like, we don't see elements from a book. Where Kim Chi's and Chi Chi's, you could see there was print on pages.
Yeah.
Clearly, that it was pages ripped out of books. And Derek's, you know, had images taken from the books. Why am I blanking? Naomi, she strategically used photography from pages of books.
Mm-hmm.
To create her kind of surface look, so to speak. So I think that's where Bob's out of the five of them.
Yeah.
Bob notoriously looked not really anything like it came from a book, because there was nothing that resembled the inside of a book, I think, is really the big issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it was hysterical that Kim Chi had this one track mind and she was on a freight train and there was no stopping it. And gosh darn it, she was going to go through that tunnel and out the other end with her thought, because she just kept saying over and over again about embracing the material. And what I loved about it was that Bob is a great listener. And Bob got it the first time. And then by like the fifth time, she was just calling Kim Chi out. She's like, I get it. Like, you know, you're just, now you're sounding like a broken record girl. So, you know. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And the only other thing is, I'm going to say this and I'm not going to explain it. And we'll get to it later.
Okay.
One bag.
Uh-oh.
So I did this for the first time this season, in season 8. I did what I did all last year mostly. I watched the show all the way up until judges' critiques. So when they went backstage, I paused the show. Then I watched Untucked. And then I went back to watch the rest of the show, because there was just something going on that I felt very nervous about who was going to be in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was going to be Naomi, and I didn't think it was going to be Chi-Chi.
Okay.
Kim Chi, while I loved what she did, I was a little concerned that they might not think that her artistic stuff was good enough. And I know that sounds very weird, but we're at the stage now where all of your past like presentations and everything you've done to this point counts. And is cumulatively a part of stuff. So I was concerned for her that was going to kind of keep her in the bottom three, bottom two, possibly. So so I went and I watched the show up to that point. Then I watched Untucked. And then I went back and watched, you know, the rest of the show and then the rest of Untucked. It was interesting to go back to the old style and to see it kind of play out in real time, so to speak, like the way it actually happened.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to say anything just yet about that, because I think we can hold on it for a little bit. But I don't know. It was interesting to me. But that, like, I want you to talk about what your thoughts on Untucked were, because I know what your first piece is, and I completely.
So one of my big issues or thoughts with this whole, with Untucked especially, was that Derek is delusional. And Kim Chi is the one who actually said that. And I want to explain this a little bit more, just because I feel like, good God, it was so during Untucked, Derek is bragging about and is upset, rightly so, because she put so much work into her outfit, her autobiographical, whatever, you know, eleganza, anyway. So she put all this work into it, and she felt like, you know, it wasn't really, you know, seen as that. She didn't sleep, she said, you know, I worked all night, and I got all this, you know, in there, and da-da-da. And Kim Chi says a couple things. He calls it a middle school scrapbook, which I thought was hilarious. But to add on to it, looking at her look, Derek's look, you spent all night doing that? No. No. Maybe you did.
Right. But I was just going to say,
maybe you did,
yeah.
But that was not enough. Where we are in this competition and where we are with this particular challenge and what people were doing, that was not enough. I mean, Kim Chi said, you know, or someone said, like, I slept 2 hours and you know, blah, blah, blah. And they were all like, and Bob, or not Bob, but Derek was all about to say something nasty again about Naomi. Because she said she slept all night. I'm like going, okay, well, did you look at Naomi's look? Like that folded kind of, not really, kind of origami, like geometric, like, and then the full kind of skirt kind of look. that was gorgeous. And it looked really well on her, and it appeared to fit really well, and her look altogether was really good. And then you look at other people like, you know, Kimchi's and even Bob's. Granted, it wasn't, you know, paper, but it was still, you know, there was a lot of effort put into that. And Bob even didn't wear a part of the outfit. She wore only like the top half and didn't wear the skirt because she didn't want to. She thought it was going to be hard to walk in. So, you know, so she had made all the stuff and only wore half of it. You made a corset and you once again wore a bikini when the judges have been telling you time and again to change it up. So yeah, Bob is delusional. Like, not Bob, Derek is delusional. Derek is delusional, and I don't get where she's getting like this mindset where, you know, this is all I'm doing. This is the best I've done, you know, da 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 da. I'm like, oh no. Well, this is the best you can do. Okay.
I think that's why Ross's judge's feedback was so critical when Ross says, I think you're the hardest working contestant out of the five of you trying to do exactly what we want. Yeah. However, you are not at the caliber that you should be. Like, you are not meeting the, you know, the expectation that we have of you at this stage. And I thought that that was probably the most eloquent but spot on, you know, way to say you're just not cutting it. Like,
yeah,
there's nothing else to be said about this. I mean, there was a huge amount of production about, you know, the whole makeup for Derek and the raising the eyebrows and changing the look and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, like,
yeah,
I think Kimchi had it spot on when she said she had hoped but does not feel that Derek ever attempted prior to being on the show to block her eyebrows and to do them at least once differently. She really felt this was the only time ever Derek had done it and that it showed. So I think that – I think Derek comes from a very specific world. She we'll talk about this in a little bit. I think she – well, hold on. Why don't you go to your next part of what you want to say about Untucked? Because I think what I want to say is tagging on to it.
Yeah. So the next thing I wanted to mention was the whole part of – they have a somewhat brief conversation about what is drag. Derek brings up she was talking to Naomi about how – she was trying to get Naomi to say what she, you know, who she is, what she does in regards to drag. And she finally, you know, mentioned that she's a makeup artist and she's a, you know, a model, you know, kind of thing. And then she finally mentioned that she's a performer. And Naomi goes back that she feels like every drag queen performs. And Bob counters that and says that no, not every drag queen performs. They have a conversation about how Kimchi could just, you know, wear her out, you know, wear how she looks and be in a museum and it'd be, you know, being drag. And I agree. So there's this whole like concept of what is drag. And I liked Bob's talk about it in some ways. I kind of agree in a sense that Naomi's right in that you do kind of, there's some kind of performance aspect to it. Putting on a show to me is considered a performance, even if you're standing there wearing, you know, you make these weird things and you wear them out and you have this really awesome makeup or you do these really fun things, then that to me is still you performing in a sense that you're doing something to entertain someone else. So that was sort of, I like the, that they're, you know, they're still, we're still having this question, quote unquote, 8 seasons in, where we've had all these queens from different areas and different genres and different types, and we've had comedy queens and glamazons and pageant girls, and you know, this, you know, we've had all these different kind of queens, yet we still have kind of have to ask this question. And it's a relevant question. So I'm all for the girls asking and talking about it.
I completely agree with you, Damon. I think this was a well done discussion about what is drag. Notably, everybody has their opinion. And mm-hmm. they all don't necessarily agree. Now, what I want to say is tying back to Derek, and this is not defending Derek, but I understood what Derek was attempting to say. I don't know if Derek was successful in explaining her point because I think it was falling on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
I think Naomi had shut her down, like was not going to listen to try to understand mm-hmm. what Derek was saying. And I think Bob may have been feeling kind of the same way. And what Derek was basically saying is, you say that what I do is not drag, but it is drag. Gender illusion, celebrity impersonation is a form of drag. And it's funny because I've tried to draw that distinction with some people over the years when I'm explaining this entertainment, this art style, that mm-hmm. some queens are impersonators or gender illusionists. You know, so a gender illusionist, in my definition, is someone who passes as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a person who is transitioning. This is not a person who is, you know, possibly born, you know, with predominantly both gender identities physically. This is legitimately a man or woman who is working hard at and passing in the form of entertainment as the other gender. That is what gender uh-huh. illusion is to me. It is still a part of the umbrella of the concept of drag.
Yes.
Which is to be entertaining in the illusion of something that is not you. So yeah. I thought that this was an interesting point because Derek was getting really kind of irritated that Naomi was basically discounting or disregarding or whatever you want to say that her work as Britney specifically is not drag, that it's celebrity impersonation. And it's like,
yeah,
well, yes and no. Like, I see where Naomi's coming from, but I disagree with her. It's like, yeah. it is a slice. It reminds me of when Sharon Needles was on and everyone was complaining or taking issue with the fact that she did this horror freak kind of drag, you know? And I'm like, but it's a version of drag. So,
yeah.
You know, like you just, it was kind of, and I'm not saying that Naomi is tunnel visioned and not willing to kind of see the bigger picture,
yeah.
but in Naomi's world, drag is extreme. And it's funny because yeah. when I learned of drag, that's what I hated about drag. I really disliked the crazy 4-foot hair and the 1-foot eyelashes. I mean, it was just yeah. so extremely clownish to me. I was like, while that may be art, that to me is not something I find enjoyable. So
exactly.
But that's my taste. Now, over the years, that's kind of changed. I don't feel quite as severe about that, but that's because I've come to learn that there is good performers and there are not so good performers. So, you know, you can be a clown, you can be a freak, you can be artistic, you can be, you know, a whole breadth of different things. You can be a gender illusionist, you can be a female impersonator, you could be, you know, a dead celebrity. I mean, you could be anything. If yeah. you do it well and you own it, that I think makes the difference. And that's one of the things that Rue was in her Oprah discussions, as I was saying, is bringing out in each of the contestants,
yeah.
especially Kimchi. It's like, do you know that? Do you own that? Do you feel that? Because when that piece clicks into place, when it all comes together, you will feel limitless. You will, mm-hmm. you will have this whole kind of package put together. So
yeah.
I thought Untucked was, yeah. was really interesting, and I'm glad that you mentioned this whole what is drag discussion was a
– Yeah, it was a very good deep – not deep, but it just – it. They I think they could have gone for much longer on it if they had the opportunity. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you know, they really had a chance to talk because it's something that I think most people don't realize. Like there's – to me, there's more to – there's more to drag than just, you know, the hair and the wigs and the makeup and all that stuff, or, you know, putting on the show or lip syncing to the newest song or this, that, and the other. Sometimes your personality and or the person you're becoming is what is just as important. I've looked at a lot of Bob the Drag Queen's videos recently online. It's one of those things where when I'm on YouTube, it's since I've been watching so many of I keep getting them. So, you know, so I like what she does, but she doesn't just, none of her music is ever just the song. Sometimes it is, but most of the time there's some commentary, there's some, you know, spoken stuff in it. You know, sometimes it's, you know, meant to be like to add to the song and the humorous nature, but sometimes it's also meant to be a little bit more quote unquote controversial. You know, it's meant to be a little bit more, you know, making people think kind of thing. And sometimes that's what you need to do. If that's the route you're going to go as your drag queen persona, is to use your humor, like I believe she's doing, to really make people think. It's one of those like satire-y kind of feelings that I get. And I know she's not the only one. And I know that there are other queens out there that do this kind of thing. And it is a genuine thought and question about, you know, what makes drag drag. So.
Well, that being the case, you ready to move on to the next segment?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I ask is – phrase it that way is because in takeaways, my takeaway, the impression on me was this interesting discussion tying to what is drag is beauty versus talent via, mm-hmm. as Bob puts it, selling a product. And that product being you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting that they kind of have this back and forth discussion about that you can be ugly and talented and whether or not that is valid.
Mm-hmm.
And Naomi says, you can do a death drop, but if you look busted when you do a death drop, that death drop does not have the same effect. And I thought that was an interesting, like, you know, kind of take on things. I didn't think of it that way until she phrased it, and then I had to reflect on it and say to myself, well, can I disagree with that? Can I find fault with that? Not necessarily, because over all the seasons, we usually see some, for lack of a better reference, borderline busted queens that are in the show that, you know, they're usually baby drag. They don't know their full identity. They're not sure of certain things. And they need polished. They need poise. They have to work on their, you know, their makeup skills, their whatever, you know. I mean, there's just something about them that's not finished, and that's usually why they're in the bottom third, you know, or bottom half, depending, you know. And so I thought that was interesting that Naomi's perspective is, if you're beautiful, you're able to sell whatever it is, be it you or the thing that you're there to work for or promote or whatever. And Bob was on the other end of the spectrum saying, no. Hey, like, I don't think you have to be beautiful to make that possible. I think you can completely be talented and still do that.
Yeah.
And I think that Kim Chi and Chi Chi are a little bit more in the middle on this one. I think they both feel that you can be beautiful and be talented and bring it together kind of as a package. And I think that's the interesting thing to me, because in this particular episode, Bob got beat up verbally quite a bit about his makeup as Bob the drag queen. You know, Kim Chi says, when I first saw who you were, the first time I looked at you, I was like, oh, she's lips and lashes, like, which I had never heard before personally, but made perfect sense. It's a concise edited comment that completely explains a group of people who do drag that they don't really put a lot of makeup on. They don't maybe necessarily have to put a lot of makeup on.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, I can't disagree with what Kim Chi said. Kim Chi's comment was, you know, I thought you were lips and lashes, like, that I find it difficult to see you, you know, with makeup on and that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I don't know. So I think that was interesting. Now, Bob does reveal in his Oprah interview with RuPaul, they are discussing what, you know, she's going to wear, and that you know, Michelle was the one who threw down the gauntlet challenge and said, I want to see a Glamazon, like a fully realized Glamazon from head to toe. And Bob confesses that that's not her style, that she said flat out, when I do shows, you see me for an hour to an hour and a half, and I'm up there and I'm moving around and I don't have time to be pretty. Those aren't her words, but that was kind of her concept. She says, you know, and that's where the line comes from. I want to be in a leotard. Like, screw this noise.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this bugle beaded from, you know, from neck to floor and big bouffant hair. I mean, she even says to Rue, she's like, you know, if I have this, you know, up sweeping updo thing and I paint my eyebrows up here, by the end of the show, I have a mustache. Like, which was meant to be a funny line because that's just the way she communicates. But I got where she was coming from. Bob was saying, in my practice, I do this a lot. And that is not me and it does not serve me.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just – the biggest takeaway was this whole discussion and I think very thought-provoking concept of talent versus beauty. And what I think it comes down to is Naomi is saying you can't be just beautiful. You also have to be talented, and that matters because we accept your talent as that much better when you are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob is saying you have to be talented – not so much on the beauty front.
Yeah. And you got to, and I think I realized for a lot of people that, you know, there's, they're kind of coming from very different spectrums. You know, Bob as a boy is okay. Not like, oh my God, drop dead gorgeous kind of thing. Whereas when you look at Naomi, who's young and, thin and has some really nice like physical features. I don't particularly care for the hair, but that's just me. But you know, everything else is like he is a very beautiful boy. And that I think is sometimes where your background kind of comes into play. You know, if you're a very beautiful person, then you're gonna realize you're gonna think that being beautiful is what you need to be. To, you know, you can have the talent, but you need the beauty too. And I feel on the other side of that, when you know, you have to kind of rely on your talent to keep you going and keep moving, you're going to think that talent is what you need to do and you need to keep and hone and focus that talent. And then that'll help you go through. Neither one is an invalid argument, I think. Neither one is necessarily fully valid. I feel that, like you said, there's often a need for a mix. And I do feel sometimes that talent can take you really far. And I do feel that sometimes beauty can take you really far. You know, could you be a combination of both and go really even further? Maybe. It's hard for me, I think, personally to say. But that's just me.
I think the entertainment industry has sold us that you have to have a combination of both, but beauty has a hefty weight to it. And why do I say that? Because how many people in Hollywood, quote unquote, how many entertainers work so hard to maintain their beauty, to have longevity, because beauty fades, as we say. So I think that's interesting. You know, I think that's the takeaway point is, well, you can have beauty girl, you ain't gonna have it forever.
Yeah.
So like you can pluck it, you can cut it, you can snip it, you can zap it, you can, you know, you can freeze it into place, whatever. But the reality is at a certain point, you just it is not going to matter anymore.
Exactly.
So you're going to have to rely on your talent. And that may be where Bob's coming from. But Bob did not use those words. So I don't know.
True. Huh. Well, for me, I just wanted to really state that my takeaway from this episode was the sisterhood is back. And that is, it was more so, you know, we had this really interesting bitch fest in the episode. But then the next day, you know, I think cooler heads sort of prevailed. And Naomi talked to Derek and was like, she said she said in confessional, like, I felt really bad after, you know, everything that was said. So I wanted to really work with her and talk with her and sort of help her in some ways. So she, you know, helps her block, quote unquote, block their brows and all this stuff. And then, you know, we get some other stuff from other people kind of like going, girl, that's not, you need to do more than that than to change your look, but you know, whatever. Anyway, so, you know, they were working together. And then in the Untucked, they had the whole, like the final five, and they all kind of grabbed hands and did the purse first kind of line and kicked, you know, kicked the door in kind of thing. And I was like, you know, it's really nice to have that. Despite everything that's going on, they're still kind of moving to that. And to add to it a little more, and this is going to be a bit, some bit of bits of spoilers. The winner of this week was Kim Chi. They really liked her story, you know, from she kind of had the baby as a sprout, and then she was the, I loved her mother look. That was so mm-hmm. beautiful. And then the, you know, full on blossom, you know, thing with the, you know, it just, it was really, really well done. So Kim Chi won the challenge. Chi Chi was safe. And Naomi was safe. So that left Bob and Derek in the bottom two. Bob realizes that she, you know, she fucked up on this challenge, I will think. And that kind of, you know, had the consequences. I don't think she fucked up to the point that, you know, everyone thinks she did. But I feel that her more conventional choice of using the cardboard as opposed to the paper is probably what did her in. You know, she wasn't as glamorous as I think they would have wanted. So that was part of the problem overall. So, and with Derek, well, yeah. So, but one of the things I really loved, and just for the sake of the sisterhood kind of thing going, was that Derek and Bob were in the bottom, and they both were, well, Bob a little bit more than Derek, but they, you know, they hugged each other and they, you know, kind of wished each other kind of luck. And then they did the lip sync for your life. And it was just, they were just very, like, Bob was very, very much like, I'm so proud of this girl. You know, it just, there was just these moments on the stage that were really, really beautiful. And, of course, Derek went home. So yeah.
I think this was a turning point in the show. Had Derek not gone home, you would have felt the earthquake in the gay universe if Bob had gone home instead of Derek.
I agree with you there.
I think a ton of people would have completely flipped lost their lid. Yeah, and basically called RuPaul every word they could think of if mm-hmm. that had been the case. So I would have to say deservedly so, because there was no doubt about it that Derek just was not performing, was not at the level that everybody else was. And while Derek is trying, Derek is not that. But understandably, I think Derek explained Derek's own limitations, and that Derek has been doing Britney, a celebrity in Vegas, for years, and therefore isn't a drag queen to the level that everybody else is self-identified as something other than.
Yeah.
And I think that's what she was trying to say to Naomi, and Naomi was trying to say back to her. It's like, yeah, but Chad Michaels came here and was not Cher the entire time. And then Derek says, yes, but Chad has had years of experience. And Naomi's like, so have you. And I was like, well, no, like, Chad nicknamed his mother Dust for a reason, and that's because she's been doing it as long practically as Derek's been alive.
Yeah.
Now that's not really a read, and I'm probably getting it wrong, but I'm not that far off that, you know, I've met Chad. Chad's a lovely, lovely person. But the reality is Chad's been doing this for a very long time, and Derek has been doing it for less than 10 years, I think, maybe less than 6 years. So when all you know is this one thing that you do, then yes, that could be very limiting. And it could really, you could be doing a lot of stepping outside of your box and doing different stuff, but not so much. Yeah. So
I'll get to it a little bit more later, but I think the main issue with Derek was that this was not the time to grow. I mean, there a lot of girls on the show grow through this challenge, but you were very much a baby almost in comparison to a lot of the other girls on the show. You were pretty much like a baby. You've only done, I mean, maybe you've done other drag before, but you've pretty much been Brittany for a very long time. And you've not really had the opportunity to step out of that. And I don't know if you had a lot of practice prior to now, but if you didn't, if you did, it didn't show, or you didn't do enough, because the things that they were saying to you, the judges were telling you to do, you didn't really do. And I don't know if that was because you have in this head, your head, this idea of what you are and what you're doing or something. But whatever it was, it just there wasn't a connection. So, yeah. So I was not upset that she went home.
So, yeah. Right. Yeah, I got nothing more to add to that.
Yeah.
Okay. I need a cocktail. How about you?
Ooh, that's a good idea. I do too. Not as fizzy anymore.
That's okay. So... we're wrapping up the last segments of the show here, where it hits and misses what we call snaps and eye rolls. I have two snaps. One is funny. One is serious. So I'll start with the funny one first.
Okay.
I have to give snaps to Bob because Bob had one of the best witty, undeniably, absolutely had to be used ever comments in confessional, because it was – gold. Like, it was fucking platinum, titanium, whatever you want to call it. Bob is great at these one-liners and did the best thing ever. And so, I mean, if I was the editor, there's no way in hell I couldn't have used this line. And they saved it till now. If it came any sooner, they held on to it. And I thought it was funny. So Bob says, shady rattlesnake sound effect, and then does it. And then sure enough, they overlaid the rattlesnake sound. And this, I just thought it was fucking like unbelievable. I lost it. I was dying. I was like, that is like one of the best, most notorious things that will probably be used over and over and over again.
Oh my God. Shady rattlesnake.
Shady rattlesnake. So yeah, I thought that was amazing. That was funny. And then I also have to give snaps to Naomi. Naomi turned a very interesting leaf and said, if my mother was here, she would have talked to me about how I treated Derek and that I need to fix that. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting because she did what's happened in previous seasons where a queen realizes we are sisters and we are here to help each other and keep each other supported even when we tear each other apart, so to speak. So she made a point of being right next to Derek when they did makeup and helping Derek to work on blocking her brows down and lifting them and doing something different. Now, what I thought was interesting was she and I think Kimchi and I think Chi-Chi – I don't remember if Bob did this as well. They all kind of basically said, we ain't going to help you. Like, well, hell, but we ain't helping you. Like,
yes,
like we're down to the end, girl. Like, you know, yeah. There's five of us left and one of us is going to go home and it probably going to be you because I am not saving your ass, which makes me go home. Like they know that this is still a competition and there's $100,000 and all sorts of stuff on the line. So I thought that was interesting. But Naomi basically was like, I will help you. Like, but she said, I gave her space. I let her do her thing. You know, I tried to provide her with some feedback. And I thought that Naomi did a really good job with that. So I wanted to give her snaps for making sure that she continued to be a sister to Derek and not, you know, turn into like a stepsister, so to speak.
Yep.
And that gets me to my eye rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Derek still not listening.
Oh,
it seemed like the whole episode, we're back to that whole thing I talked about before that I've instructed in regards to sales, which is she was listening, you know, to talk, not listening to comprehend. She was, you know, she was waiting for the breath, for the end of whatever you had to say so she could get off her mind what she had to say, as opposed to internalizing it and then thinking about it and then, you know, responding. So I think that's one of Derek's growth areas, and hopefully that changes for her. And you know, so yeah, that was my one eyebrow. I was like, oh, Derek, you're just not, you're hearing, you're not listening.
Amen.
So yeah, that was my eye rolls.
Okay. All right, so for me, I have actually several snaps for this episode. My main snaps are for Chi Chi and Kimchi's book ball, you know, eleganza, extravaganza, divalanza, you know, looks, you know, whatever it was. So I love Chi Chi's look. It was, it reminded me a little bit of Mariah, but it was also very much like this very well done, you know, look, like this kind of feathered, like, you know, with the paper kind of look. And I was floored with how beautiful it was. And she did some little, you know, just a few little accents here and there that worked really well. I'll mention something else in a minute because it has to do with my eye roll. But, and then Kim Chi's looks for the challenge overall were very good. I mentioned it earlier. I really loved her look with the mother look, and her final, like her, you know, the last look was out of the book pages was beautiful too. And the headpiece with the like roses, quote unquote, or flowers kind of attached to it was amazing. So that's my main sort of eye roll or snaps for this week, because I was expecting it very much from Chi Chi, just because she's mentioned that she's a unconventional materials kind of girl. Mm-hmm. So I was expecting her to really pull it out.
And just to tag in real quick, Damon, one look, the final runway look that she had with the paper and the shred, you know, they kept saying that she, you know, shredded the runway as a, you know, a pun joke. She was giving me White Swan realness. That's what I kept feeling, that she was looking like this, like amazing ballerina, kind of like, you know, with the eyeshadow to the point on the sides. Like, you know, I haven't seen Black Swan, but that's exactly what I was thinking of. Like that, and I, you know, so. You know, props to her for that look.
Indeed. So then my second sort of snaps is just a funny moment that happened during Untucked. One of the crew guys, the guy who usually gives them their 5-minute, you know, warning, he comes in purse first. Like, boop, 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 5 minutes, ladies, and then walks out with it. Like, so clearly this purse first thing just has taken, you know, the crew by storm. I love that they kind of kept going with it. Like the thing happened in episode 1 or 2 when Bob made the purse from the curtains. And since then, it's just been this sort of thing. I'm really, really, really happy. It's the thing that they did together when they, you know, came together, the five girls came together in the, you know, for the final five kind of thing. So it just, I just found it very hilarious that they came in with purse first with it. And I was like, yes. You know, the crew's getting in on it. You know, it's, you know, one of those moments where it's funny and nice. So
it is a minimal thing that happened in the entire season that took a life of its own. It yes. reminds me slightly of Ornacia with Vivacious. How this uh-huh. styrofoam headpiece turned into a whole other thing that people just didn't see coming. And I think the same thing happened. Bob has created this thing called Purse First. Like, it's kind of like Alaska taking hi and bye from these two queens that she knows that she didn't really know, but she wanted to use that as a homage to them. And then that turned into a whole thing. So, yeah, I thought that was – I agree with you. I'm glad you mentioned that. I thought that was so funny that the crew did purse first.
Yes. Oh, so hilarious. So, my eye rolls are for similar to yours in that Derek doesn't get it. You know, she was harping on – she was talking about Chi-Chi's look – and the stuff that she did with the paper and, you know, was kind of trying to compare the two to hers. And I'm just like sitting, girl, you put on a fucking bathing suit and put some things on the sides and made this thing to look like a corset. But you know what? You could have done so much more. I mean, okay. You don't sew. We've gotten that. We know this. We've kind of made this sort of known, you know, that you're not the sewer. You don't do it. Got it. We've made that point. You could have done something else, anything else, mainly because the thing that they've been telling you about is they don't want you. They're tired of seeing you in the same thing. They're tired of you looking like, you know, Britney kind of thing. So they've kind of told you these things. And instead of going all out and putting something really, really awesome together are making a, I don't want to say you could have made a gown or whatever, but just done something else. You know, I don't need to see your legs anymore. We got enough queens on the show that got great legs. We don't need to see yours anymore. I don't need to see your thin ass body and the breasts, you know, kind of thing or whatever. I got it. I know what you look like. I've seen enough of your body. We got it. I wanted you to do more. And this was the one challenge where you could have done so much more.
I will say this. The possibilities are limitless.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not Derek could truly do more, I don't know.
True.
She may have tapped to her full potential for creativity and imagination. I mean, she admitted, like Thorgy, she gets too much in her own head and thinks things through the minutia. Like, I was impressed to hear Derek say, I spent all this time looking for this color purple to balance against this color green. Like, when she said that, I was like, holy shit. I was like, I would have never known that had you not said it. I would have never mm-hmm. realized that's where you spent all night long working on this outfit. You were thinking about composition. You were thinking about contrast. You were thinking about balance. Like, you were seriously putting in some effort, but that is not where it really could have been. It could have been in some very other different ways.
Yeah.
But you decided – and like most queens, you relied on what you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she yeah. you know, she did what she did.
Yeah, I just – it's one of those things where I really wish you could have done more. Like, the way it looked like everyone was probably given something like a corset or something like that to work on or work from. Maybe you could have done more to it, whatnot, or I don't know. That's where I kind of get this feeling, because I saw a lot of corsets. But, you know, this is one of those things where you could have, I mean, it may have taken a lot of work, but you could have made, I would have, if, okay, let me put it like this. If you had made something ugly out of the paper to cover yourself up and then dropped it and then revealed this, whatever you made, I might have been a little bit more impressed, because at least then you did something out of the ordinary for you. Normally we always sort of see your body, and I kind of would have wanted to, I wanted something more. And I know, I don't feel like you could have given us any more, because I think you still have this. I don't think you're getting it. I just don't think you're getting it. I don't think you're really truly listening to what the judges are saying or what other people are saying to you. And that's part of the problem, is that you're not building, you're sort of growing, but not to the level that all these other girls are. Naomi was the one who is, you know, by far to me has impressed me the most in regards to growth. Chi-Chi has grown. Kim Chi has grown. Bob was kind of already grown, but she has then still, to me, has still grown. You know, being knocked down a couple of times really helped her. And whereas for you, I don't feel that you've embraced the beauty behind this contest, and the beauty behind, and the interest, and what you could use and do to build yourself up from here. You know, I could still see you probably in Vegas doing your stick and, you know, maybe now traveling a little bit more, but I think once the year is kind of up and we go to a new show, you might be a little bit more famous in Vegas and maybe take the show on the road. But yeah, I don't see you as much more. Whereas Chad Michaels, I saw as someone who became almost this chameleon of sorts. You know, she was able to change with the challenges and be something more than what she was. Like, not granted, she probably had stuff in her back pocket, because, you know, she probably, like, we know, she's been doing this for years. But when she came on the show, she was Chad Michaels, the Cher impersonator. When she left the show, she was Chad Michaels.
I agree with you. I think Chad is way more like flexible on what to present. And she has actually said, I've heard her say it, and she's talked about it. And I think she posted about it on Facebook at one point. She doesn't post nearly as much as she used to, but she basically said, listen, when I get booked for a gig, you have a choice. You tell me what you want. If you want Cher, you fucking get Cher. I got Cher, not a problem. If you don't want Cher, I don't have to be Cher. You know, and like there's – and notably, I believe there's a pay scale to that. Like, yeah. You know, so it's like if you want Cher, it costs more money because Cher is expensive, you know, to produce and to put on and stuff. So I think it's interesting that – yeah, that she, you know, she's way more malleable to whatever it is that's being desired, where Derek was just, I think, struggling to understand that. And I think in a couple of years, Derek may fully get that. Yeah. You know, if she's doing a Vegas show review as a female celebrity impersonator. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, like if you're always like, I look at it this way. If you're always doing Liza, you're always doing Tina Turner, you're always doing Celine Dion, you're always doing Barbara Streisand. Well, that's all you're ever going to be known for. And if the production, the show that you're in, never lets you get out of that, mm-hmm. then you'll never know. And that's, I think she kind of got trapped in that, because there have been some great queens in the past who were, you know, voice of a thousand, you know, women. Like they were able to switch between Liza and Judy and Barbara and, you know what I mean? And Bette. Like, I mean, they were able to completely change at their personification. So they weren't mm-hmm. just one celebrity, they were a bunch of them. And I don't know if Derek is aware of that or has seen it or has tried or maybe not. You know, maybe she's just considered so good at Britney, that's all they ever give her the credit for, the ability to do.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because then that holds her back. And I think that's what Rue and the judges were kind of frustrated by a little bit in this season was it's like, well, we get this. We know that you could do this, but stop doing that. Like do whatever. And that's when you kind of made a comment, and I have to agree, Michelle, and I think even Matthew basically said, this is not the place to discover who you are.
Yeah.
Like yeah, it's great that you can, but you're not going to win the show doing it.
Yeah. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Like, this is not the time to be like ask who you are. And you're like, oh, well, I'm this and that's it. You don't really have much more to say. You have no more, not much substance anymore. Whereas, as we've seen, the girls, especially this season, have been able to meet in a lot of ways, transform themselves each week. They have their own unique styles. They have their own unique characters and personalities. And Derek, I don't feel really had that. Maybe in some ways, but not to the effect I feel that other people did.
Right. No, I agree.
All right. So
before we get to closing thoughts, I just want to tag back to my earlier comment and finally explain it. So when I was discussing earlier the thoughts on Untucked, and I said, one bag. One bag. That is all Derek left with. One bag. Like one luggage bag.
Oh.
All these other queens had like five bags, six bags. I mean, they brought their fucking house with them. And that's changed over the seasons compared to when we started, you know, the series to where we are now. In the past three seasons, they've upped the amount of stuff you can bring. And Lord knows when these girls travel, they're paying hundreds of dollars in extra baggage fees.
Yep.
They bring all this shit to California, unless they are lucky and they live nearby and they can drive. So, I mean, it was just insane to me. She goes to leave and she has one wheel of luggage, just one. And two headdresses that she never wore because she was saving them for the finale. She was thinking she was going to get to top four and that she would be able to wear them for the music video or whatever. And she never got to them, which is really a shame because they looked really nice. But yeah, so those didn't go into luggage because apparently she has special, you know, stuff containers to put the headdresses in, you know, with the ostrich feather or whatever it is. But that's it. She had one bag, just one luggage bag. And I was like, I get that you're a little thing and that you're kind of, you know, wouldn't call her this, but some would say she's a skinny bitch. But holy cow, you really didn't bring anything. If you're leaving with just one, compared to everybody else. Just saying.
I did not notice that.
Go back and watch it. I was flabbergasted. I was just beside myself. I could not get over that she left with so little. And I thought, well, she didn't give it all away.
No.
She had very little with her and not – like she didn't have a ton of shoes. She didn't have a ton – like she doesn't have breastplates. She didn't have a ton of jewelry. I mean she didn't have a lot of stuff. And that might explain why her looks were so similar because she didn't bring a whole lot as far as breadth of things to use because she figured – this is what works for me. And it's like, well, yeah, obviously I would only need one piece of luggage too if I wore a swimsuit every single week for, you know, 8 weeks or whatever. But anyways, that's really not nice to talk ill of the departed, but
whatever.
Moving on. So closing thoughts. Known as our final impressions on the show. So I am wondering, I'm kind of asking a question, perhaps we have a four-way race.
Mm.
I say that seriously because I think Chi-Chi, Bob the Drag Queen, Kim Chi, and Naomi all have strengths and they all have weaknesses. They all have talent in various spots. This episode talked about that Naomi is basically a model, that mm-hmm. Bob is a comedian, that Kim Chi is kind of an avant-garde artist in some ways,
mm-hmm.
and that Chi Chi is a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think it's anybody's game. If I had to make a guess, I think Kim Chi and Bob are the two that are not doing as well. And that's because their cracks or their deficiencies are now known. Kim Chi was pointed out a long time ago that she about her eloquence as far as speaking publicly, how she handles herself and how she moves herself, her body physically within a space. Those are two things that can be held against her. And Bob has been clocked for not being as glamorous and for the makeup.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting to me because when you compare them side by side, nobody does makeup like Kim Chi. Just nobody. Period.
Yeah.
Nobody does looks and aesthetic like Naomi does. And mm-hmm. nobody does like owning who they are like Bob does. Like Bob is just Bob is Bob, and that is all there is to it. Like there is no doubt about that. And Chi Chi mm-hmm. is probably the most rounded of all of them. Like in some yeah. ways, Chi Chi is the one that knows how to paint, knows how to make a look, knows how to dance, knows how to, you know, to her journey is the most true. If there is a goal that you know, you started a place and you ended a place and you have the most growth, Chi Chi's is the one that is. She's owning who she is. It took some of the last two episodes for the judges to tell her, you could be a country queen. You can be, from the middle of the sticks queen, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And she started to own it. Yeah. So I think it's very interesting that we're at the top four. And in a way, I kind of feel of all eight seasons, it's mostly anybody's game at this point. There's nothing that screams out to me, ooh, girl, you in trouble. I think there are two, as I said, that give me caution.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Naomi and Chi Chi are definitively in the top three unless something happens that is that I don't foresee or forecast. That's just me.
It's interesting that you say that because when my closing thoughts or things was this interesting dynamic that we have between all these girls. They're all fundamentally different. You know, you've got Kichi, who's this very dance-oriented, really decent-looking makeup and all this stuff. Doesn't really do much to the body, but that's okay, because she's a dancer, kind of thing. And it's funny, but not like, I'm size hurting kind of funny. You've got Bob, who is very, very funny and very, quick-witted and decent with regards to makeup and looks and whatnot, but not the greatest at, we've talked about makeup, but, has faltered, especially these past few weeks. Then you have Chi Chi or Kim Chi, who is beautiful in the sake of like the differences in makeup and going really outside the box and very much changing her looks, but has, like you said, very difficulties with speaking and walking and being this kind of beautiful person. On a flip of that, you've got Naomi, who is this very beautiful queen who has this poise and this walk and these legs and this very unique model kind of, beauty and feel about her. And that's on her bad things to me are, you know, she's not, to me, she's not just a pretty queen, but to a lot of people, she's just a pretty queen. She has shown me in the past several episodes, she's taken off. She's kind of been this dark horse, this Miss Underdog 2016, I think is what someone called her in the episode. And it's just one of these things where I'm like, yeah, you know, she's gone from barely noticeable to middle of the road to now kind of, like we said, being one of these front runners. I honestly, personally do, this is one of the first times in a while where I really care about these girls. And I feel like I would love for them all to win, you know, but I know that's not going to be the case. I feel that there's I don't know who, because since Kim Chi won this challenge, I'm kind of like, okay, well, maybe the only thing that could potentially knock her down is if the final challenge, which it ultimately is, which is the music video, becomes this sort of dance. You know, it's a dancing choreographed, you know, concept. And that's not her strong suit. So that could be the thing that kind of stumbles her. With Bob, it's kind of an acting challenge, but it's also kind of a dance challenge. And it would be interesting to see where I can see her faltering for the sake of going too far or doing too much for the sake of the laugh or the improv and everything. I can see that being an issue. With Naomi, I don't see this being as big an issue, this next episode being as big an issue. You know, it's modeling, it's standing and looking pretty, and also she's not been the greatest in regards to dancing, and it's hard for her to break out of the model, you know, posing kind of thing, and that could probably be what causes her to falter. With Chi-Chi, dance choreography on point, you know, look kind of can work really well. I think her challenge would be the acting, in a sense. Her political ad was not all that great. And so we know she's not the greatest actor kind of thing going on. So it's anybody's game at this point. I see highs and lows for everyone. And it could, this is the point to me where it, like you said, it could be one little misstep, one thing that just falters them enough to put them in the bottom and get them out the door. And any of them at this point, that could happen too.
I agree with you. I don't know if the past where they've come out in this season so far really matters. And the reason I say that is because Bob has won the most, has won 3 out of 8 challenges, and has only been in the bottom 2 once, and that was this week.
Okay.
Chi-Chi has won once, but has been in the bottom 2.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Chi has won 2, the first episode and now the 8th episode, and has never lip-synced.
Yeah.
And Naomi.
Has she ever been in the bottom?
No. Kim Chi's never been in the bottom.
No. Ah.
I know.
Huh.
So, and Naomi has been in the bottom once and then won the very next challenge. She was in the bottom of episode 5 and then she won episode 6. So, but they've all been low at once. Mm-hmm. And they've all been in the bottom except for Kim Chi once.
Hmm.
Actually, Chi-Chi 2. So yeah, it's, I don't know if those numbers mean anything. Like looking at the grid, I'm kind of like, well, if you were to base it off of that, you would say that Bob's favored to be in the top 3 and that Chi-Chi's the next to go because she's been in the bottom 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel that way.
Mm.
I think the way it's going to play out is dependent truly on how they do in the next challenges, not about how they've performed so far. It's about what they do with the next ones.
I can give you that. it would be, I'm going to be interested to see how this challenge goes. Based on the preview that we've seen, I think it's going to be, as we noticed, it's going to be a little harder for Kimchi. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it because I really want to know who the top three is, because this has been one of the seasons for me that has been interesting. It's been like pleasing to me that we've gotten these girls who have, like you said, have these strengths and these weaknesses, and we know them. And we can predict, but we can't. I know I mentioned last week who I thought would be in the top three or something like that. And I'm now not sure. I think one of my top three people was gone, but it's just one of those things where I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know. I really feel that one thing will be the downfall. One little thing will be the thing that breaks them for me. So yeah, I guess we will see next week.
Agreed. So in the meantime, if you want to know more or catch up on what we've been doing, you can go visit our website, which is at cubsoutloud.com. You can send us an email if you'd like to cubsoutloud@gmail.com, or you could go old school and you can leave us a voicemail message that we would play on the show or not play if you don't want us to. And you can do that by calling 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. You could go to facebook.com/cubsoutloud and like us on there and see the comments on the post that we're putting on there, as well as other folks, just like AJ did. You can, if you're interested in the pervy things, you can go to cubsoutloud.tumblr.com to look at all the XXX stuff that we post on there, which has nothing to do with Drag Race.
nothing at all.
You can also follow us on twitter.com/cubsoutloud. And of course, google.com/+cubsoutloud is our Google Plus page. Bear Underground is the official Bear social website for Cubs Out Loud. So you can join the COL entourage on there and say hello. You can go to iTunes and you can rate us. You can go to Stitcher Radio. You can give us a thumbs up. And of course, as usual, I can be found on the interwebs as GareBear73. That's GareBear73.
And I am TheaterCub79. That's theater with an R-E, not an E-R. TheaterCub79. I realize I've never said that. TheaterCub79, NomadCub79, are Pup_Umbra on the Twitterverse.
All right. And with that said, we're going to exit like we have all season long to RuPaul's You Wear It Well. You wear it, you wear it, you wear it well. Wig shop, nonstop, hair salon. You wear it well. Now you brand new. Ooh, 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 ooh. Work it for me, work it for me. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
'Cause it stopped. That was so weird. It kept playing, but like not playing. I was watching the little. Well, let's try that again.